May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning is the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 5, including these words. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, hear these words from Leviticus chapter 2. The Lord says, "You shall season all your grain offerings with salt. You shall not let the salt of the covenant with your God be missing from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt." Today's gospel reading is a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount. Last week we heard the words of the Beatitudes at the beginning of that sermon. And again, these words this morning are words of description. They are describing God's people. They are describing us. And here Jesus uses two metaphors to describe us: salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. Several weeks ago, we discussed the distinction in Scripture between light and darkness. So this morning, I want to focus on the first metaphor, namely salt. How do we, like the people of the Old Testament, season our offerings with salt? What does it mean for us to be salt? The first thing to notice is how the Lord speaks. Again, he is describing a certain kind of people. Salt doesn't choose to be salt. It simply is. Likewise, you and I did not choose to be Christians. Instead, God chose us. As Jesus says in John 15, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." And he continues, "And appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide." Or for fun, we might combine these words of Jesus in John 15 with our gospel reading, something like this: "I appointed you that you should go and be salt and season the earth." Now, how is it that we can even be salt? How is it that we can even carry on this ministry that God has called us to do, to be the salt of the earth? Jesus gives a hint of that in another part of our gospel reading. He says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Jesus came fulfilling all the words of the Old Testament, including the law, including the commandments. We are salt because Jesus fulfilled the law on our behalf. He did what we cannot do. And he came to fulfill the promises of the gospel, to fulfill God's plan of salvation for us in himself, by taking his sinless body to the cross, and there sacrificing it for you. Through the shedding of his blood, you are redeemed and saved. You are God's people. You are salt. Jesus fulfilling the law on our behalf is good news for us. It is pure gospel, and it means that we, as his baptized children, are his people, the salt of the earth. But what does that mean? Jesus goes on in our gospel reading to give us some insight about how it is that we are salt. Listen again to these words from Jesus. He says, "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The good news for us is that our righteousness does exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, because our righteousness is Christ's righteousness, which he gives us. So ours is the kingdom of heaven. For you see, becoming salt is about God's work for us. Being salt is about our good works toward our neighbor in response to God's mercy. Not good works that we make up, but those which God has given us to do in our daily lives, in the callings in which he has placed us, those works that flow naturally from cleansed hearts, those that develop organically as we are daily in the Word of God and in prayer. Maybe you noticed something interesting in our Old Testament reading this morning from Isaiah. The people were making up their own good works. They were making up their own way of fasting. Whatever they were doing with their so-called fast, they thought it would make up for all the bad they did the rest of the time, their fighting, their pleasure-seeking, their wickedness. They weren't actually keeping God's laws, but making up their own. Instead, we are to follow God's ways as we live in this world. We are not to make up our own laws, for there are plenty of them for us to keep. Christ fulfilled the law for us, and that law is still in effect. God's law still governs the world. It still defines right and wrong. It still distinguishes truth from a lie. We cannot relax any of it, Jesus says. Like Jesus, we are to do the commandments and to teach them. And Jesus has a warning for us. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. I want us to consider three properties of salt, three ways in which salt is used, and try to understand how those apply to the church. The first, salt preserves. Secondly, salt is used for healing. And finally, salt seasons. The world is rotten. It's rotten to the core. The fall into sin affects every person that has ever been born since Adam and Eve sinned. Sin impacts the creation itself. Though the creation still supports human life, now the creation can destroy it. It's all rotting. Every Sunday in the divine service, we confess that rot that is within us as we confess our sins. We realize that we are by nature sinful and unclean, infected with the disease of original sin, and we rejoice that our sins are forgiven. Yet sometimes we forget that about the rest of the world. We tend to see the good in people, which isn't in itself a bad thing, but we need to remember that every man, woman, and child has that same sin disease. And the unbeliever is following rules and norms and ways of thinking that often run contrary to God's law. And we see the effects of this all around us. Thus, the church is to be a preservative. We are to be a preserving influence in this world. Like salt, we are tasked to prevent as much rottenness as we possibly can. We are called to preserve life. We are called to care for widows and orphans, any of those who are struggling to care for themselves. We are to protect children. We are to care for the poor, especially any within our own midst. We are to advocate within our callings for justice in our families, in our communities. We are to call out evil and to praise the good. We are to exercise our rights to vote for individuals who we feel will best cause the church to thrive and to give justice to our neighbor. Salt preserves. Second, salt is used for healing. It can kill bacteria. We use saline solutions for many things, to clean wounds, for contact lenses, in IVs, and so forth. And in our world, many people need the healing that you can bring them the healing of God's word. For some, they need some salt rubbed in the wound, as it were, the sting of God's law. They need to see how the life they are leading, whether it be a life of sexual impurity or greed or pride, will ultimately destroy them. Salt in a wound stings, and so can God's law. But such pain is necessary for healing to take place. Sin must be exposed for what it is, so the salt of the gospel can heal. Jesus binds up your wounds caused by your sin, and he would do that for others. He alone is the cure for the disease of original sin. This is the salt we can bring to others that they would be healed. We are the presence of Christ with people. We are witnesses to his death and resurrection. Salt heals. And finally, salt seasons. If you cook at all, you know that when you use just the right amount of salt, you don't taste the salt, but the flavor of whatever it is that you're seasoning. Try to eat a cooked potato with no salt. It doesn't even taste like a potato. But add a little bit of salt, and suddenly it tastes like what it should taste like. Likewise, we Christians are seasoning in the world. We are to show forth how joyful life can be as God's people. The world doesn't understand reality. It doesn't understand itself. We are to show not the truth of the falsehood of Satan lies, but the truth of God's word. Human beings have forgotten that they are made in the image of God. They believe themselves to be accidents of nature, just a lucky or unlucky effect of evolution. They see other people as mere consumers, or as those to be manipulated, or those to be used for their own evil intents. They consider those who they identify as inferior, as not even worth living. What a tragedy. The salt of the truth we bring shows reality for what it is. The salt of God's word brings out the zest and the beauty of what God has created. Fallen as our world is, life is a gift. The order that God wishes to bring is a gift. And he desires each person to know him and to follow him. The seasoning of our good works shows others what the world can be, what it should be, what goodness is. Ultimately, to point the world to Jesus. The world should say of us, see how they love one another. Salt seasons. As the people of the Old Testament were to offer their sacrifices seasoned with salt, so we offer our bodies and our lives as living sacrifices, seasoned with the salt of God's word and the good works we do for our neighbor. May it be so among us for Jesus' sake. In his name, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.